Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
For tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Amen. Glad the Lord brought us together one more time, one more Thursday night. I think this is the third week in a row we've had some wintry mix, some wintry storms. We do a little bit of shoveling and scraping and stuff today. But we thank God that we were prepared, and that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks of being prepared with the Holy Spirit to do ministry, to carry out God's purpose and plan in our lives. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
G, I pray you, Dr. G, made it through the storms and the sleet and the rain today. I know it's funny, the last 3 weeks we've been talking about, you know, being prepared, and every week we get challenged with the snowstorm, and you know, that's just the way life is. It's like you're always going to get challenged, and when you know that you're going to get challenged, you don't get bent out of shape, you don't get too high, you don't get too low, but you understand the challenge, and you just deal with it, you know, according to what the challenges bring.
Right. Amen. It's important, as you were talking about being prepared, as we've been talking about, especially last week when we're talking about putting on the whole armor of God, we've had an opportunity in real life to see what happens when you don't prepare in Texas. You know, they cut corners. They tried to do things the short way. They didn't want to be part of the federal electric grid. They wanted to do it all on their own, even though in 2011, there were warning signs that this was coming, and if this happened again, you need to have things in place. So they weren't prepared, and because they weren't prepared, the situation was way worse as far as them not having electricity, which compounded by them not being able to mess up the water system because they couldn't purify the water, which compounded by people dying of carbon monoxide poisoning, which is compounded by the farmers' animals dying as well as the grocery stores. So like we were talking last week, you may not think in the moment that you need to be prepared for that storm, but the storm is coming. And if you don't, mm-hmm. it's harder to get out of the storm and react to the storm if you're not proactive. And you can clearly see that in the state of Texas.
Amen, amen. And part of that storm is coming. We also talked about believing part of the enemy's modus operandi, his M.O., was to spread a big lie. And the big lie was that the climate is not changing.
Right.
And,
right.
And that you would never need anything remotely necessary to heat
right.
your fuel supplies to your generators. And,
right.
But they believe the big lie. And
right.
we went back to Genesis where Adam and Eve they believed the big lie, and you know mm-hmm. God told them, look, you got your own free will, you know, you got dominion over everything I've made,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the Garden of Eden, the only thing I asked you not to do is eat of that tree right there of knowledge of good and evil.
You mm-hmm.
eat that tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're gonna die. Well, here comes Satan, subtly, you know, and that's what we talked about in Ephesians 6:10 about, you know, the wiles of the devil,
right.
You know, Satan is subtle, he's slick, he's smooth, got ulterior motives.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing he does is he comes and tells Eve, you know, you're not going to die, you know, God's lying to you. He
right.
just don't want you to eat of that tree, because when you eat of it, you're going to know good and evil and be just like him. He just want to hold back on you. And that's the way these lies get told in our world. The big
right.
lies, they get told with ulterior motives in order to advance someone else's agenda. So they don't mind lying to you. And what they do is they manipulate you to think that somebody's taking something from you or somebody's holding something out on you. And if you are easily persuaded and not standing on the word of God, they have the ability to be so subtle and so wily and so manipulative that they'll have you fighting against your own brother or your
right.
own sister because of a lie that somebody told you. And it's crazy that it happened in the book of Genesis and it's happening right now. CLG?
Yeah. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing, and that's one of Satan's favorite tricks or trickery for us to fall is dishonesty, lie, deceit, all of that is, and we, because he knows in our flesh we will fall for it because we have those itchy ears of, I don't want to hear the truth because the truth sometimes hurts, you know.
Mm.
You, for example, even if you look at something as simple as the situation in Texas now, the truth of the matter was they needed to pay extra money to pay to build up the infrastructure so that they can handle the storm, winterize, be proactive. Well, they're like, well, we don't want the government to tell us what to do. We're going to do our own thing, and we're saving you, people of Texas, so that you don't have to pay the money for this. So there's a lie that you can do the shortcuts. You don't need to regulate. You need to make so you can keep that money in your pocket. That is Satan being deceitful and us falling for that deceitful because we're greedy, we're selfish, and they're thinking they're saving money, but now they end up going to have to pay more money. And that's one of Satan's favorites. It is so easy to mislead us with the lie because
mm-hmm.
often don't want to hear the truth.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G, we'll follow up on that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, people don't want the truth. They prefer the lie.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about the lies that's been told from our former president, all the way up until January 6th, and then he made it appear as if he would bail these people out of jail. Well, they found out that was a lie, and many of them turned on him. So, you know, lies has been told from the very beginning of time, and they continue to be told. People would prefer to hear a lie. Honestly, it's hard for folks to tell the truth.
Adam and Eve lied to
Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so that was the first part of when we were studying the armor of God last week Book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, the first piece. If you look at that in Ephesians 6, verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." So
mm-hmm.
the first thing that needs to be established in order to fight the wiles of the devil or the enemy is to know the truth. And
right.
and again, in Genesis, Adam and Eve, they knew the truth.
Yeah.
But they chose to believe the lie over God.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I actually want to go to that scripture so people can see that this is how it all got started. This problem that we have called sin. If you go back to Genesis, the second chapter, and you look at verses 16 and 17, God is establishing a commandment with a man. He's telling him the truth. This is God's word. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." So God, you got all this, everything else in the world. I set you up royally. But
uh-huh.
if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. You're going to die, and, you know, you have a choice. I'm not going to put a computer chip in your back. I'm not going to make you a
right.
robot.
Choice,
you
right.
can choose to believe and love me and have this spiritual connection with me, and you'll be good. And you can
mm-hmm.
carry out. You can live in the Garden of Eden and carry out your purpose and plan with me in the garden. But there's a spiritual wickedness, another created being, angelic being that was created a little higher than man. Man was created a little lower than the angel. There's this enemy of God, an enemy to the truth, and Satan had his position of in God's plan, and he was a cherubim right next to the throne of God, but he wasn't good enough being right next to the throne of God. He wanted to ascend the throne. He wanted to take over,
mm-hmm.
and God had to kick him out.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the thing about God, the infinite wisdom of God, that God would create beings and give them free will. Who does that? who does that? Knowing that they have with this free will comes along with the ability to become renegades and turn against God. Who does that? But this is a loving God that wants people to love him for who he is and be in a relationship with for who he is, not somebody that he's programmed. Which just
right.
is infinite. It's beyond our finding out, because you and I, well, I'm not gonna throw everybody in there, but me, if I created somebody and I knew they was gonna turn against me, I might not have created them. Sheila G, I'm just being real, you know.
That's why we can't find logic in God. That's why we can't lean to our own understanding, because you're right. In our own understanding, heck no. But even in that, God still put something in us in that we procreate and have kids, and we know they're
yes.
going to act up. And it says
that
in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 15, because when I read that thing, I was like, really, God, that women, because of what Eve did, we're going to have pain when we have childbirth. Mm-hmm.
But you're
going to
keep going back.
Your husband.
Come on, Dr. G.
So it's like that, because it is painful. Childbirth is painful. And if he didn't put that in us for to always desire a husband, there would be no procreation. It wouldn't happen that we'd be one and done. Like, that's all right. That's not worth that pain. But God just created this magnificent way of us doing things, and we just can't lean to our own understanding because it really, if you try to logic it and put it in our human minds, it really does not make sense.
Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, as we said last week,
Dr. G, Sheila G, we had the same issue last week. Let's see if I can get him to call back in. Maybe they're on mute. Hold tight, everybody. They'll be right back. I'm texting Sheila G right now. Let her know they can't hear. And she'll call back real soon. But what we're talking about is in the book of Genesis, how the created beings rebelled against the Creator, and this is spiritual wickedness in high places, where Satan is now calling God a liar, and God's other created beings, human beings, are believing the lie because their selfishness. They believe that God is holding something out on them. And so they put their selfishness before God. And so they believe the lie. Sheila G, you back with us now?
Yeah, same thing as the slew foot getting busy, because it's the same thing that happened last Thursday.
Right. Exactly. So, Dr. G, you were talking about the same thing happened. We were talking about what happened last week. You want to continue your sentence? Thought.
Yeah, you know, we talk about, you know, the fact that God, you know, people think that they put God in the same vein as man, but God is not a logical God. I mean, you know, when we read the Word and read how He does things, and our finite minds, it just doesn't make sense. And He works in ways that we just can't imagine. But if we lean not to our own understanding, as Sheila says, it always works out to the best and to His glory.
Amen. I want to explore that a little bit more with in Genesis, where Satan calls God a liar. So if we go down to chapter 3 in the book of Genesis, and we'll see the subtleness and how he manipulates us or manipulates mankind into leaning toward his flesh, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eye. And Satan is upset because he got kicked out of God's heaven. Mm-hmm. So now he's turning on God's created human, trying to get them to fall the same way he fell. And so in chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And so what's really, really needs to be put on radar, Sheila G, is that Satan knows the word of God. And he knows the word of God better than a lot of people that claim to be gods.
That's right.
And he has the ability to take one little twist of it
Right.
And get it to say something other than what God said. He tried the same thing with Jesus when he was taken out before the earthly ministry. He was taken out into the wilderness. And you know, he told him, if you be the Son of God, and cast yourself down, because God has given you, you know, angels to take charge of you, that you would not dash your foot against the stone. And he's using the word of God against the word of God, who is Jesus, to try to manipulate Jesus to not be obedient to God. And so if he'll try that on Jesus, Lord have mercy. We really need to study. We really need to study.
Amen.
So here is Adam and Eve listening. Well, the Bible says that Adam was there with her. So Adam is sitting there hearing this conversation with his wife. And he says, you know, if you eat it, you're supposed to eat of every tree of the garden. Now, God did say you can eat of every tree of the garden.
Except.
But he said, he continued that. And see, this is where people take the word of God out of context. He just told them one part.
Right.
And he got the woman talking. And I don't know, there's something about the makeup of a woman and makeup of a man, but the woman needs to use more words than men. Men, I think they got to use like 500 more words
yeah.
a day than men do.
Yeah.
And so in their makeup, they got 500 extra words they got to get out every day.
Right.
So Adam ain't said a word here. But Eve is running that mouth.
Yeah. Yes, she is.
So and the woman said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 1, he's not talking particularly. Both of them are there.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman starts talking.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't get the whole word right. Wait a minute. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Now, I didn't read this in Genesis 2:16-17, but this is what she said. Neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Did I miss something, Sheila G?
Oh, I'm reading it too.
In chapter 2, verses 16 and 17,
mm-hmm.
it says, and the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die.
Yeah.
Satan tells her in verse 1 of chapter 3, you know, God said you can eat of everything, but he didn't finish the whole sentence. And then
mm-hmm.
the woman goes on and verse 3, in the last part of her of chapter 3, verse 3, it says, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.
Mm-hmm. To embellished.
So those are those extra words
mm-hmm.
that she had
yep.
to get out.
Yep.
But Sheila G, Adam was sitting there right there with me. He ain't saying nothing. So in the makeup of the woman, she gonna speak up and say too much. In the makeup of the man, he gonna be quiet and not say enough.
So you got
That's
from one extreme to the other. Huh?
Go ahead. I'm gonna stop meddling. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you could hear me or not. I said you had one extreme to the other, so that's why it's confusing. And you know that Satan just loves confusion. So he's stirring up confusion because, like you said, Adam's not saying anything, which both of them got the same directive from God in the prior chapter. He's not saying anything. She's embellishing. She's adding to it. And Satan is just sitting there with his conniving, like Ephesians says, the wiles of the devil, the trickery. So by them not just being consistent, adhering to God's word, we don't need to add to it. We don't need to scramble it. It's all in there. Just focus 100% on God's word. That's what Jesus did when Satan came at him.
He
quoted the scripture verbatim. Whereas here you had Adam that doesn't say anything, not doing Ephesians, trying to fight back the wiles of the devil. So he's like chilling. And that's how Satan will sneak up on us. And then you have Eve who's adding to God. And that's how we mess up too, because we always want to help the Lord out. And so Satan just slides with his little slick self right up in there because we're not consistently adhering strictly to God's word.
Amen. And Adam got the word because God commanded the man. That's what it says in Genesis 2:16-17. He commanded the man. So so he commanded the man before Eve was taken out of him. In other words, he had the responsibility and the authority to be able to have dominion over everything that God made. So in other words, because he had dominion over everything, he could have said whatever to the serpent. And the serpent would have had to obey the word of God. See, that's
right.
What you get with the man. When a man doesn't know his authority, he doesn't know his responsibility and his authority. He gets manipulated out of his responsibility, authority of being the dominion over God's earth. And he gets himself twisted up in things that by not speaking the word of God.
Right.
God bought every animal or every creature that he created to Adam and told him to name them.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of authority.
Yes.
That's a lot of authority. But if you keep quiet and God says, okay, I want you to name them, you're like, oh, which way did it go? Don't say nothing.
I want the responsibility.
Right. He's not leaving up to his responsibility, but
right.
Verse 4 is the critical part. Let's go to Genesis 3:4. This is the critical part right here. Genesis 3:4. And the serpent said unto the woman, where's the man at? Adam, where you at?
He's still sitting.
Where you at, Adam? Where you at? You got the word God commanded you. And he's sitting there listening to this whole conversation. And a lot of times men just tune out, we tune out, we tune out, we tune out. Dr. G, we tune out.
Amen.
We tune out. Because she's getting rid of them extra 500 words, so we just tune it out. But we need to be engaged. We need to be engaged because verse 4 happened, and it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
Mm-hmm.
Direct contrast to what God said in chapter 2 in verse 17. He says, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die.
So here comes.
So one of them's got to be right with the big lie.
The big lie.
One of them's got to be the truth.
Nothing.
Both of them can't be true.
Right.
It happened in Genesis. The problems that we're having today.
Yes, the big lie
was started in Genesis.
Yep, there it is.
Children.
Amen. That's it. There it is, the big lie, direct contrast to God. And like I said, I know for the last couple of years, as we've been doing this Bible study, I would say definitely the last 2 years, one of the things that we kept saying was this country and this world was using their moral compass, that thing that God gave us of character, compassion, love, helping others. Truth. And it was just going further and further, and people were listening to that manipulative lie. Satan's got deep down into it, and then it just got worse and worse until people got killed. January 6th was like, wow, I never in my life would have seen it. But it grew from the big lie, which is what the big lie we see right here in Genesis. It's like it just blew up. And I know we have been talking about that's what's happening today, is we have lost that moral compass. It's like it used to be a thing where they would say, well, it's a little white lie and a black lie. And lying was like worse. For to do now, it just rolls out of people's mouths like, okay, yeah, it was a lot blatant, and for some reason, people think it's okay, and it's not, and it's just that's just Satan just manipulating more and more, and we as Christians need to shine the light to get that darkness out of here.
Amen. And so the thing about the lie that Satan told is that Adam and Eve had a choice.
Yep.
To either believe it.
Right.
Or Adam should have called it out.
Yeah.
And told his wife to call it out. That it's a lie. And in our makeup, this is another thing in our makeup. Women have 500 more words and don't use their words and don't recognize their position of authority and responsibility. There's something that we all have that we have to constantly put under the subjection of God, and that is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These three things are what get us in trouble. So Genesis 3, we'll see where these things play a part in us responding in the flesh instead of the spirit, understanding that at this point, Adam and Eve, they were spiritually alive and in perfect communication with God because they had not sinned. And so that relationship was a relationship that was void of sin. But they had a choice. They could make a choice, but again, beyond what Dr. G was saying, God is so infinite, we're so finite, we can understand how God would give us a choice and give us the ability to apply to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It's complicated, and you can't figure it out. But this is what Satan appealed to, because that's what he got in trouble with. He wanted himself to be more superior than God. In other words, the created being wanted to be superior to the creator of the created being. So let's look at verse 5, where Satan appeals to this part of the human makeup. So verse 5, Genesis 3:5, says, "For God doth know," and he's continuing to butter him up with his lie. And he says, "In the day that they eateth thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." In other words, God holding something back from you. So because God's holding something back for you, he won't lie to you. And this is what it goes on in countries and nations and continents of people and mankind all over the place. And puts nations and countries and people against each other, is that even though you're my brother, even though I'm your sister, or even though you're the mother or father, or even though we look the same, or even though we bleed the same, I can't trust you because you're trying to take something. You believe the lie that somebody's trying to take something away from me and hold something back from me. And you know, that would give you an upper hand on me. And so I don't want to lose out, so I have to be at war with you because you're trying to hold something back on me according to what somebody said. You know, that's that old thing of, you know, in the modern days, it's because somebody put it on the internet, it's true. it's just crazy. And so here are the in verse 6, here are the things that away from God. And when the woman saw, that's the lust of the eye, that the tree was good for food and that it was I'm sorry, that was the lust of the flesh. The first one was the lust of the flesh. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree, and that's the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and that's the pride of life. So you have the lust of the flesh, you have the lust of the eyes, and you have the pride of life to be wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, right? And gave also unto her husband what? And he did eat. So we're seeing that both of them were together, and they decided to believe the lie of Satan because they had lust of flesh, lust of eye, and the pride of life. And this is what caused them to fall out of their relationship with God, because they were not obedient to God. They did not believe God. They did not believe God for man, but they believed the lie of Satan. And at a certain point, I believe that they knew it was a lie, but because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, they decided to go ahead anyway. It's sort of what's going on today, Sheila G.
What's going on today? Exactly. That power, ego, and pride, where you see they have the power, people recognize it, then they want to ignore what they know is true. And then.
Because Adam had to know. He had to know. God told it straight to him.
They double down on the lie. They know it, but it's about pleasing that flesh and that pride and that
there
power.
There you go.
That power, and that's what you see today. It's about the power. It's about the fleshly power. It's about the pride. Then the pride is, oh, I got caught in my lie. I knew I was lying, and I'm going to double down and keep lying. And that's when in this particular verse, when it's like she ate and he ate, they knew what God said. Mm-hmm. He knew what God said, but it was like, mm-hmm. okay, I've gone this far now, so I'm going to double down on it. And that's what has happened. That's what's happening a lot now, especially in this world, in church, like some of the leaderships in the church. That's why God had to bring this world down, because even within the church, there was so much pride and so much ego and just like putting God out and putting the desires of man and people, man pleasers, what does this mm-hmm. clique have, and who brings in the most money, and so we'll compromise God's word to make certain people in the membership happy versus the other. And then you see it in the politics as well. So God basically had to shut it down, but everybody knew it was the big lie. And mm-hmm. it's all about pride, power, and pleasing the flesh.
Amen. Amen. And the Bible, it talks about that the woman was deceived, but Adam knew better. He was put in a position of authority, power, and authority. And he gave it all up. So in that climate, you have people that in today's climate, you got people that are deceived. They really believe some of this crazy stuff.
Right.
And then you had the people that know, but they go along with the lie because of power.
Right.
And the combination of the two is dangerous to human existence. It's dangerous to human existence. But Adam knew. He told his wife, but she was deceived, but he went along with it. And he was willing to give up his position of like you said, his moral authority, his position of authority and responsibility in God's kingdom, because he decided that this was best for him and that, you know, God be damned, I'm going to do what's best for me. Dr. G.
Well, you know, I've been sitting here listening to you and Sheila G, and the thing that really, because every time I go back and I read that story of Adam and Eve, the thing that really gets to me, and, you know, God did hold back from Adam and Eve, but that was to protect them. But mm-hmm. they were so gullible to believe the lie that, you know, then they wanted to know. I mean, Satan knew what he was doing. Yes, God held back because it was not meant for the creation to be on the same plane as God himself. That's what got Satan kicked out.
Mm-hmm,
and Morpheus
mm-hmm.
knew it. But as you said, they, you know, the devil, he was working through Eve, and I got tickled when you were talking about the woman with them 500 extra words. I live in the midst of it every day. I call Sheila and Jessica once upon a time stories. Can you just get to the point? And get mad with me. But Adam was there. And no,
oh my God.
I don't know what it was, if he was so captivated by this woman, the girlfriend just put a spell on boyfriend, or what. He would not open his mouth and then just did what she said do. And we have the problem that we have nowadays from the beginning all the way to where we are now. And then, you know, we talk about men, talk about women usurping authority. Well, go back to the beginning.
Open your mouth.
Hello. Adam could have stopped all that. And then when you look at where we are and why there aren't more men faithful, committed, and it's the women that are carrying the load of the church.
That's right.
It goes back to the beginning.
Amen.
Jill G.
I'm at a loss of words at this point because you guys pretty much said it. It's right there. And what amazes me is that it's nothing new under the sun. And it's all Satan he can just hit the replay button. All he has to do is continue to appeal to our fleshly desires, especially that power, that pride, and that ego. He just replays that from generation to generation. No matter how much he blesses, he's
mm-hmm.
brought us war. He's brought, you know, out of slavery. He's brought us, and then we get comfortable. And so we get comfortable, Satan pushes the replay button and starts saying, okay, now things are good for you. You don't need God anymore. Do it on your own.
Right.
And make it, lay out your own plan. And every time we do that as a human race, we end up messing it up, and then we got to go back, Lord, can you bail us out again?
Amen.
Wow. It's amazing. But that chapter 3, verse 4, is critical in the existence of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
That verse, that one verse, Genesis 3, verse 4, when Satan called God a lie, the bigger that lie has the ability to change the course of the history of mankind. It changes it because man has been given a choice to believe it or not, to respond to it or not. And people make that choice every day. Politicians, religious leaders, regular you know, people make that choice, whether to believe God or not to believe God. And choices that we make. It's something to be able to look at the history of mankind through the light of this is what happened and this is what was the cause of the fall of man, is that he believed the lie of Satan above the truth of God. And that's why when you look at Ephesians 6 with the whole armor of God, the first thing is to have your loins girt about with truth.
Right.
And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And when you understand that you need to know the truth, but it's not just enough to know it.
Right.
But you got to be able to follow through on what the truth is. And it's a daily challenge. It's a daily challenge for everyone that walks this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to choose to believe the truth, or are you going to choose to believe a lie? Our country right now is in uproar and divided because of a big lie, because of people who are legitimately deceived and people who are standing back and manipulating people who are deceived for their own benefit, for their own glory. And it's sad. It is really sad to see the depths that people, like you said, we lost our moral authority, our moral compass, to see people that would go to the depths that they've gone through. No shame, you know, no remorse, just, you know, it's a lie, I'm going to ride with it because, you know, I'm going to ride and die with it. It's making me money, it's making me famous. I'm looking toward the next thing that this lie is going to bring me. And it's sad because you have people that really believe the lie, and then you have people that would manipulate the lie. And so you have a terrible situation where those who are deceived and those who are manipulating those who are deceived, and those people are in power in a lot of religious organizations and political organizations, CLG.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of like what we've been studying, even in Sunday school, and what we've been studying here in Bible study, is that it's when you have the two, the political, the government deceit, as well as the religious deceit. And those two things are, from the beginning of time, is what hurts man. And that's why we have to lean and trust God to help bring us through. But it's still going on from the beginning to the end, and even like right now. You have both the political, the government deceit, and you have the religious deceit through the evangelicals and everything, which is playing into Satan's hands. And that there's nothing new under the sun.
And in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, it deals with those two factions. It deals with and they call them Babylon, so these ways of the world of the religious Babylon and the political Babylon, and those ways of the world that are antithetical or against Antichrist. They will be bought down, but they are world stage manipulators that follow Satan in the religious world and in the political world, that manipulate people, that deceive people for the power of a few people, and eventually it will get overthrown. But from Genesis to Revelation, it's the same issue. It's the same manipulation of mankind to get them to believe the big lie. Well, where did time go? we are in the 8:48 time frame. And there was a couple more verses I wanted to look at in Genesis, but we're going to go to the phone line, give folks a chance to chime in. And last week we talked about truth, and I just wanted to talk about the pride of life. What being too proud will do. There's a good being proud, and then there's a being too proud in your own, not proud of what God can do or what God has done, but being proud of yourself and not giving God any place in it. So just want to ask about being too proud, understand the dangers of being too proud of yourself. So we're going to go to our first caller, the last four digits, 1741. You're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Being too proudful, feeling like you've done it all by yourself, can cause you to fall and to stumble. And you can make a lot of mistakes. It causes you to be self-centered and selfish. And you begin to think that you have done this all by yourself.
Right.
And you forget that you belong to the Lord. And God has given you what he wanted you to have, God give every man what he wants him to have according to what he sees fit and how he want to use him for his glory. And so what we have to do, because we have a tendency, man kind of like the power. He likes, we don't handle praises and power sometimes too, you know, too good. And sometimes we get the big head, as Pastor said, we kind of get the big head a little bit. And when we become, our head becomes swollen, we forget God. And when we forget God, then we're heading for trouble. Because we need to stay humble. We need to keep praying every day. Lord, direct my footsteps. Please let your Holy Spirit direct my footsteps. Help me to do what you want me to do, your agenda, not what I want to do. And then if it's done, then let you receive the praise and not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to ask God to just keep us humble and meek, because when we come prideful, then we are heading for destruction. We're going down the pathway of destruction. And sooner or later, it's going to happen. You're going to begin to think, I can do this. And this gives the enemy a chance to step in. And when he begins to fill your head with all that foolishness that you don't need God, that you don't need man, you can do it all by yourself, you're heading for trouble. So, yes, we need to ask God to keep us humble, keep us meek, and help us to do what he wants us to do and not brag about it, because we're all on this journey together.
That's right.
And it takes what you have, it takes what pastor have, it takes what every born-again believer have in order to make the body of Christ complete. God didn't give no one person everything. He has many members in the church, and the Holy Spirit has given the members the gift according to the way he wants to give them. And so when we learn to become contented, when we learn to ask God to help us and keep us meek, then we can do his will. We can stay in his perfect will. And that's what it's all about. God getting the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Mm-hmm. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309. You're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I understand the concept of being it's a pride thing. You know, you can't have, you receive something from God, but you can't take it upon yourself to leash it out and deliver it to other people, because God has given it to you, and you have to stay in your own place. See, and one thing that I've tried to do here lately is just know your own place. Know where your blessings come from, and know that it was God that gave them to you, and stand back and stand down, because you can't do nothing with God. Can't nobody do nothing with God. He is God.
That's right.
And not only that, by your attitude, you can influence other members of your family, you know, so you got to put the right things out there, too. You know, you can't glorify yourself like that, because it's not you. You know, and I realize, and I know it's not me, and I'm always down. I step back, humble, do all of it, because I appreciate what God does for me. And if anything, when I say something, it's going to be to his glory, and I'm going to say it. Like I said, you can say something around your family members. You had them thinking wrong, you know. So anything we can do or say, we have to be very careful and to let God know that we understand him, we love him, we know that he supplies all our needs, he gives us everything we have, so we don't have nothing to boast about, you know. So I do understand the purpose of doing that, and I'm thankful to God, because none of us can do nothing without God. So, okay, he's first, and what he says goes. We might not see it that way, and if we don't, then we're still doing something wrong if we try to make it another way, because we're leaning on our own understanding. And
Amen.
We can't do that either. So, yes, thank you.
Amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 664, you on air?
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
First, I just want to thank God for being here tonight. Today was my birthday, and I just want to thank God that I'm in the land of the living.
Amen.
Happy birthday.
Birthday.
Thank you. And I just want to say that pride will leave you by yourself.
Yep.
That's right.
Will leave you by yourself. Nobody wants to be messing with you or fooling with you. I mean, when you're dealing with pride, it'll
mm-hmm.
make you miss the most important thing in your life, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
Because pride will make you, I mean, you'll think that you know everything. And then if you're hurting and you're too proud, I mean, you have too much pride, you won't even let people know you're hurting. You won't even let people know you, let them in.
Mm.
You won't even, you know, you just won't let them in. And you won't be able to deal with people, and people won't be able to deal with you. You all have a blessed evening.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Happy
birthday. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Our last word is 3343. You on there?
Yes, good evening. Good evening, everybody. Pastor, you're treading, you're in my subject now. You're treading the water. I hear you and Pastor doing some treading some water. You know what time of day it is. So, okay, so I'm going to skip around this, okay? I know God told Adam what to do and what to do with it. All right?
All right.
You're standing there, all right? And she bites the apple, okay? You're in my subject now. Oh, my God. He had to tell her, look. You not put the apple down. You had no business even touching it in the beginning. But I didn't mean to go that far, but get that far. But oh my God, I can't get my tongue out of my mouth. Oh, you're in my subject. And we hard headed. Yes, we lead and we had to follow. I was in Walmart the other day, and here's a linebacker. At the cashier, standing about 7 feet tall, swinging his hand and his and honey, I said, "Where did all these get one of the girls want to be the girls? You got the boys want to be the girls. You know, God made man, not man and girl together. God, Lord, have mercy, please stay in your place." God had in Adam was standing there watching her bite that apple. He knew that was wrong, and God told him not to do that. But we followed the labor. We followed the leader. And I have followed the lady, and every man that came has followed the lady. And every man looks like now wants to be a lady. Lord, I just don't. Please. Oh, God, I don't mean it, but it's true. God's word is true. And I lied something last week because I said I do not like a liar, but I lied last week because I lied because I had to lie. I only lied because I had to, but I do not like a liar. And we know that a man is supposed to stay in his place where God put him at, and he did not do it. He followed the lady, and the lady leads on. And every time a lady sticks on and her mouth opens up, we follow right behind her. We can't say a thing about it. We know we're all wrong, and we've been following ever since God put us in on this earth.
Amen.
Heaven help us all, please. Every man wants to be a girl. No, don't be no girl. God made man. He didn't make no man and girl together. They came out. They took the form out, but they didn't. The faces are entirely different. The heart is different. The legs are different. The feet is different. Please.
Amen.
Good Lord. Please, Lord, where did the man come from? Man did not stay where he's supposed to be. He didn't stay there in the garden, and he ain't stayed there today. Lord, bless us all. We need God every kind of way we can. Girls just done took over everything. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 2409. 2409, you on the air?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Oh, hello. I thought Bible study was fantastic. I ended up clicking in late, but I was like, oh, my God, I'm missing it. So, because I still have children here in my facility, so I said, I'm going to sneak to the back for about 30 minutes. But I love the way that they were saying that Adam stood there. And we can see that if the man does not step up and take his place in the home, how things can go awry.
Amen.
You don't look, you know, if he's supposed to be the head and God gave him charge over everything and told him to name everything, that means he had a place.
That's right.
She had a place. And when she, now that the government has, we thinking about the 70s and 80s and stuff, this stuff was so good. Because when you take the man out of the household, look what you see.
Mm-hmm.
All these boys, I'm saying, I get the boys want to be girls and the girls want to be boys. I get all of that. But it still go back further that when you take the man out of the household, how the house is not run, it just run a mess.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part about it. And even sometimes, you know, us as women, we tend to marry some clowns, and we know he should be the head, but then sometimes we have to step up. But see, we still, just because we're stepping up doesn't mean we need to take his manhood. That means that we need to sit back and let him rise to who he can be by giving him support.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
You don't want no fool running your house. But if you married that fool, you got to deal with your fool and then hopefully and pray on him because you are half of him. So if you're praying to God to work on your husband, I do believe the power of prayer. Pray to God to guide your husband. Make him wise. Let him be a leader of your family. You got to pray for those things because that's half of you. It's your husband.
Amen.
You know, I loved it today. Oh, it was fantastic.
Bless.
Amen. Amen on that.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits. 5170, you're on air. Must be listening in. All right, we're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Definitely powerful testimonies and powerful question this evening. I definitely think there's a thin line between arrogance and having a level of confidence. And I do agree with all the statements made before mine that a lot of times when you become arrogant, you think you've always been the way you are. You think you've always been on that level, and it blinds you as to the true power of God. And also it blinds you into the help that you had to get you to where you're at. You know, I think we make it about me, what I had to endure. But I think sometimes when you look at the journey, you realize you weren't in it by yourself. You had some people helping you along. You had some nights you couldn't sleep and you were on the phone. You had some prayers to God. You had some moments where you felt you couldn't go on, and there were people there helping you along the way and sometimes pushing you along the way to get to the finish line. And I think when we get there, we get so caught up in what we went through, you know, you forget, you know, that, you know, the true power of God and how close you were to quitting that journey to whatever level of success it is that you were able to sustain. But, you know, you have to be careful with that because, you know, people see that and people are also listening, as Alice had mentioned. So when you're up there speaking or you're being grateful or you're acknowledging whatever it is God did for you, that's a testimony. And don't ever make it about you because you have certain people in the audience, kids, children, people that may look up to you and look at you as a role model. You have a big responsibility to practice humility. And that humility is saying, hey, look, I appreciate it, but guess what, guys? I couldn't have done it without God. Guess what? I couldn't have done it without the Lord putting certain people in my life to help me along the way. And we have to practice that because if you have that spirit in you, you're never going to find or be able to sustain any type of level of success. And how can God use you, you know, to inspire others to follow along and to inspire others to do more and to do better and say, you know what? Now may not be your time, but guess what? I'm calling you to help this brother out or to help this sister out get to a level that they may not be able to get to on their own. So that's what we lose in the process. And I think sometimes as Christians, we get so focused on the end result. And when we get there, we're like, oh, thank you. I'm done. Like, I'm here. I've reached this level. It's not so much the destination. It's the journey. It's what did you find out about yourself? What did you obtain? Who did you meet? Who did you have to let go? What did you, you know what I'm saying, have to endure? And I think for me, that's one of the things that I've learned in my Christian walk, that the destination, okay, that's great, I got there, but the journey, it took me some months. I had to make some new friends. I had to put some people aside. I had to change my ways. The journey is the important part. And I think we lose signs of it because we're just like, all right, I got through the storm, whatever that storm may be. And they were like, oh, I did this and I did this and I had to go through this. And and you look back and you're like, man, how did I lose sight that there were so many people? Look, and some people praying for you that you didn't even know. You're only talking about the people that you know.
That's right.
But you got people that's praying for you every day that you don't even know. But definitely give God his acknowledgement, you know, when you're doing it. But you got to practice humility, and it's tough, you know, because I used to be that person that where I would accomplish certain things and do certain things. I made it about myself and made it about what I had to endure and kind of neglected those people that helped me along the way. But, you know, I had a stern talk with my mother, who's a very strong, strong woman. And she said, son, don't you ever get up there and lie. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then she had me think about all you went through and who was there. And then I said, you know what? I learned a valuable lesson, but had I not made that mistake, I would have never learned about humility. And it's a humbling thing because, you know, I think the higher we go up, human nature, you make it about yourself. Human nature, you want to take all the glory and praise. But that's one of the things I like about Heart of God Church and Newburgh Baptist Church. When you guys get up there and you're talking and you're speaking and, you know, people look up to you and you have this platform, you never, ever waver in the fact that you thank God every single day, every opportunity you have. Look, some of the good and some of the bad, and that's what I look for. You know, it's one thing to follow a shepherd, but it's another thing to pay attention when you see that that shepherd is not only just up there speaking, but they're showing you the way. They're actually showing you the path of righteousness that we all need to walk. So that's why I commend you guys, because so no matter how successful you are and the platform you have, you guys have always practiced humility and give credit to those who've helped you along the way, give credit to the church members who chip in to help out, and give credit ultimately to the Lord on high. So you guys have done a great job, but again, a great, great question tonight. And, you know, just practicing humility is, as I shared with some of my church members last week, you know, God blessed me with a blessing that I didn't know. And I still called in and they'll tell you, I cried. And I don't care. I'm a grown man. I'm usually not one to be trifled with, but guess what? I cried and it was okay. I cried and I thanked God and I realized how much I'd done, but I thanked them for what they did. I thanked them for being on those calls. I thanked them for the words of encouragement and for God to turn it around. How would I look sitting there saying, I knowing daggone well that I needed those calls on Wednesday, that I needed these calls on Thursday. And when God blessed me, cup overfloweth, blessed me, being able to the point where I can do for my family more and be able to help my mom out and support my family the way that they need to be financially, I made sure I went on that call. I think I might have been the first one to get on the call. And the first thing I said was, thank you, God.
That's right.
Thank all of you for being in my life and helping me out. And when them tears started going, I ain't hold back. I cried. I didn't even care. I mean, I'm a grown man crying in the car, boo-hooing, sobbing, crying. And guess what? I don't care, because those were tears of joy and tears of acknowledgement. I didn't hold anything back. I cried and let it all out, and I felt great. And so some people look in my car like, man, is that brother all right on there? I'm just fine. Y'all keep it moving. I'm good. I'm giving my honor to God. But I never made it about myself. I thank all of those people for all of their prayers, for their support, for their continuous belief in me that I'm something more than what man may have me labeled. And when God, you know, finally blessed me and opened up that doorway for me, I gave God all the credit in the world, and I thank God for the support system I have. So be mindful, too, of the circles and the company you keep, because, you know, they can make or break you. But I just thank God that spiritually I have a church family that's always there for each other and is always there for me. But that's all I have to say. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Dr. G., you want to close us out, or you want to let your G finish her 500 words today?
500? Amen. we have really heard some good comments tonight, and, you know, it's important, especially as Christians, that we understand about being too prideful and keeping pride under control. Because it's easy for the enemy to sneak in. And I think, as Brandon was saying, you know, he'll have us thinking that we've done this, that, and the other. And then once we start walking around, sticking our chest out, talking about what I've done, you know, I tell folks, no, it's not me. It's the God in me. We have always give honor to the Lord for anything that we're able to do. If we're able to help someone, it's all because of the Lord. So I pray that we will stay mindful of understanding what that word pride is all about. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, for just helping us to understand tonight the word and what we dealt with. Lord, I'm praying that we as men would begin to stand up and be the kind of men that
yes,
you would
yes,
have
yes.
to be. Pray that you would continue to strengthen us and help us to get back into the word and take our rightful spots. Father, we pray for the women. I'm praying, Lord, that we will continue to walk together and do what you want. I pray for this Bible study, Lord. I pray that others would call in and become a part of it, O Lord, and help us to study more, that we can apply that word in the way that we should. Father, we thank you, we pray, we ask it all right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.